What's good, podcast world? Welcome back to Balls Deep. This is episode 14. I'm your co-host, Zach Wunderlich, as always joined by co-host Chance Rich and David Burgess. Chance, how are you, brother?
Doing well, man. It's a beautiful day. It's great to be back.
For sure. Absolutely. Mr. Burgess, how are we?
Hey, living the dream, bud. I'm glad it finally stopped fucking raining.
Yeah. No shit. Like we said last week, I was wondering which one of you motherfuckers are building an ark, because I can't. All right, this week we got a special guest, Ufala's own, Ethan Sharp. Ethan, how are you, brother?
I'm doing great, man. Appreciate you guys having me on today.
For sure.
I'm a weekly listener, as you know. So
yeah, absolutely.
To get to talk with you guys for a little bit.
Yeah, we appreciate the hell out of you listening. Sharp always texts me day after, and he tells me something about what we said, you know, whether he agrees or disagrees or whatever. So figured he'd be a good one to come on. And then a little side note about Sharp is Ethan was involved in one of the greatest comebacks in high school baseball history in Oklahoma. He was just on the wrong end of it, huh, Bubba?
Yeah, man, I still have nightmares about that one.
Yeah. 7-1, Chandler comes storming back in the sixth.
Yeah, we had a little meltdown on the mound.
Yeah, you knew
it wasn't me this time, but you know how it goes.
Yeah, you knew you weren't coming on this podcast, and we weren't saying something about that. You knew that,
right? Yeah, I kind of knew that was coming.
Yeah, I'll tell you just a quick hitter on that one. We were just happy that Trevor Walsh was out of the game, because God damn, that dude was nasty.
Yeah, Bill.
Yeah, he threw baseballs that moved that I had never seen before as a junior in high school. I'm like,
hey, man, that slider he had got a scholarship.
Yeah, baseballs move that much, especially at the high school level.
Yeah.
But, all right, let's hop into the topics real quick. We've got a quick hitter here on the MLB again. I know you guys have probably seen it. One of, I guess, the craziest plays and one of the fucking stupidest plays I've ever seen in my life. Chance, kick us off on this one, and that's the Javi Baez play that we've seen. I think it was yesterday or 2 days ago.
It's funny you say it's one of the stupidest, because you're pretty right, but at the same time, it's genius, because the son of a bitch stayed in the baseline all the way down. And I really want to know if he was serious about it, or if he was just kind of playing around. But
or if it was a joke, yeah.
Yeah. So, but it worked out in his favor really well. And I think it was awesome. It was something you've never seen before. And not only, like, was it crazy to see the dude get back to first, but he got a run in while he was doing that stupid shit. And then nobody was covering first, so he stayed in the baseline. He's safe at first, overthrow, gets to the second. Dude, it was wild, and I absolutely loved seeing it, man.
Yeah, and I'm not saying stupid on Baez's part. I think it was genius on his part. I'm saying the Pirates first baseman, that's the stupidest shit I've ever seen. But you got to backpedal three steps and step on first, and the inning's over. You chase his ass back to home. They score a run. Then they throw it away. He gets the second. That shit was just dumb. Like, take your ass back to the minors with that shit.
Yeah.
How many outs were there?
There were two outs.
There were two outs. So he just had to literally go step on the bag, right?
Take three steps back, step on the bag, out of the inning, nothing fucking happens.
Man. I love it, man.
See, I was watching it. I was watching clips of it to get to see it, but you know, I didn't know there were two outs. But I was thinking, man, that could go one of two ways. It could go like it did, or it could go really bad. I mean, that could be an easy double play situation,
right?
You know, if the guy makes a throw home, tags the guy out, and then throws him out at first, you know. But luckily, I guess not luckily, but had he went and stepped on the bag, it would have saved a. a replay there on ESPN, you know.
Yeah, and
it would have just been a routine play, not something that people are talking about days later.
And that's the thing that dumbfounds me. It's like, okay, you're a major league baseball player. I get that you get brain farts, you know, or whatever, and shit happens. But it's different to me if there's no outs or one out, you know. And Javi Baez fucking takes off back to home, and dude chases him down. It's like, okay, well, step on first. But, you know, whatever. But you got to have the fucking couth to know that, hey, there's two outs. If I just step on first, even he could have let that dude score. He could have ran to first again, and it wouldn't matter. Like, because it's a force out, that run's not – it don't count. All you gotta do is step on the bag.
Yeah, that's some shit I would do because I don't fucking play baseball.
Yeah.
It's just take off and chase this motherfucker. I'm going to get this guy, dude. And instead, he fucking gets a run scored and makes it all the way to second. I think it's fucking hilarious because they're professional baseball players. It's like, you don't know the rules, guy?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's what makes it – I think that's what makes it even worse for me now, knowing that there were two outs. I mean, that's day one stuff.
Yeah.
That's the stuff you teach day one, like, hey, there's two outs. That run on third doesn't matter, man. Just go.
Yeah, nothing just matters. Just get the force out and we're out of the inning.
Right.
Yeah, this. I just wanted to get y'all's thoughts on it because, like I said, like I'm watching it and I'm like, this is one of, I guess, the smartest plays on Baez's part to not just run into the tag because something like this could happen. But then all in one, it's the dumbest shit I've ever seen, too, from the Pirates first baseman. Like,
yeah.
I think that's one of the beautiful things about the game of baseball, though, is like, I mean, heck, people have been playing baseball since Jesus Christ was walking around, you know, like it's been going on forever.
Yeah.
And you still see stuff every day that you've never seen before.
Yeah,
you
know? It's something new. That's
the crazy thing about baseball. And to kind of touch on something I talked about last week, that 3-0 count, that's another thing that I think is just kind of, you know, the game of baseball is just a beautiful game, man. It's, you can't just run the clock out.
No.
In baseball.
No, you got to pitch.
And I'm thinking to myself on this 3-0 count, like, hey, if the score is flipped, like, you know, are we still making a big deal about this? Like, you still got to give the guy a shot. You know, that's the thing about baseball that I love is that you still have to throw the ball over the plate and give the man a shot. You can't just kneel on it or run the clock out, you know. Like, you got to give the guy a shot. And, you know, I'm all for the dude swinging, especially being a 28-year-old rookie, you know, trying to make a name for himself. I can't fault the guy.
Yeah, no, you said it best. In baseball, you can't run the clock out. You got to make 27 outs.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I guess unless you're the home team with the lead, you got to make 24 outs. Okay, quick hitter there on the MLB. Like I said, just wanted to get y'all's thoughts on it because – that shit was wild. I ain't never seen anything like it. Been watching baseball, playing baseball 28 years. Never seen anything like that before in my life. So it needed to be talked about, but let's hop into this one because this one's getting fucking outrageous to me. And I swear COVID has just fucked up everybody and fans don't know how to act going back into stadiums now. Wait, fans have been back for like 2 months and that's, you see it almost every day, fans are just in the stands wilding out. We'll start on the latter of them. The Dodgers-Astros game, those two teams hate each other. Fans in the stadium or in the stands brawling. Same thing happens in the White Sox-Cardinals game. Fans in the stands brawling. It's like they don't know how to fucking act anymore when they go into a stadium. I get, you know, there's alcohol involved and, you know, shit talking between your two squads, especially the Dodgers-Astros. Those two fan bases hate each other. I get it, but, I mean, shit, like, go outside and do that shit after the game because you fight in the stadium, you're not going to jail, like, regardless. They got you on camera.
I'm surprised there hasn't been a fight in every Houston Dodgers game so far this year.
Right?
Those motherfuckers are, like, at each other's throats in the stands every game.
Well, I'm surprised fans aren't fighting Astro fans anywhere they go
because,
every stadium they go into – it's all about the cheating. All Astro fans hear it all. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right.
Fans.
And then we have NBA. These fans don't know how to fucking act either. We got the dude that dumps the popcorn on Russ, and Russ absolutely lost his mind, which
– oh, my God.
I would have too. Wait, you're pouring shit on me. And then Trae Young in New York gets fucking spit on.
That's just like, so disrespectful.
It's like, what is that? Like –
I think of the three, man, that's the one that I just couldn't – I wouldn't put up with, man. I couldn't – like, you're going to pay money. Like, I understand the popcorn, you know, yeah, the guy gets thrown out, whatever. You know, we'll go about our business. Maybe he's suspended or whatever for the season, can't come back to another game. But the spitting, man, like, hey, get out of the stadium, and then that guy's entourage gets to beat the shit out of you outside. You know, like, you don't spit on somebody else, like especially somebody like that who, you know, people look up to and people are there to see, and like, you don't pay money to go to a game for stuff like that. So I think of the three, man, like, I get I get people, you know, drinking and getting into it over their team or whatever. Like if you're a team of the or a fan of the home team and you're sitting with a bunch of visitors, you know, like I get that. You know, you get riled up. Maybe a fight breaks out. The popcorn, it's stupid, but hey, you know, you can get over that. But you spit on me, like that's it. You know, that's the line right there. And man. Did you hear the so on that game? Did you hear the Trae Young is balding?
Yeah, and I
did you hear that was
I
wild.
Love that one. Like, obviously, we're all Trae Young fans here. Like, he played at OU, but the spin on him is fucked up. That's bullshit.
Yeah.
But when I heard when the New York crowd started chanting Trae Young's balding, dude, I was laughing my ass off. I got no issues with that.
No. No, man, I can remember playing at UCO. I think it was my freshman year. We went to Pitt State, and so the visitor sideline was right by the student section. And they knew – they got on your Facebook. They knew who you were dating, who you were seeing, who your parents were. Like, they were – the whole game, you were just hearing you know, different players. So, I mean, I get that part of it. Like, I'd say that's clean. I mean, kind of messed up, but I'd say it's clean, you know. But, yeah, the spitting thing, like, that's the line, right?
Yeah, we lost you there for a minute. Caught the ass end of it. Bubba, what you got on the Trae Young and the rest stuff? Like, the fighting, to me, it's fighting. But when you start messing with the athletes, I think it's crossing the line.
Yeah, at that point, man, and Russ has caught like the most fan flack, if you ask me. And at that point, I wouldn't handle it very well either if I was him. And at some point, it's got to fucking stop. They got to put an end to that, and you really do got to start protecting the players. I'm really glad to see that they're banning these people, but like let's start giving them some actual criminal. Some charges, man, because maybe that'll straighten their asses up. It's starting to get out of hand, and it's every season now, you know, and it's becoming a thing. I think it's fucking ridiculous, and it doesn't belong in sports. If you want to spectate, you're there to spectate, man. You're not there to fucking harass and throw shit and spit on the players that are there to entertain your ass.
Right.
So.
And the dude in Philly was a season ticket holder.
Yeah.
Like, bro, you're spending all this damn money. Then you want to dump popcorn on Russ, like
– stupid.
Like, you're done now.
I hope he doesn't get his money back.
No, hell no. I hope not either. David, what you got on it?
Man, I think it's like – I like that he brought up the Trae Young balding because it's two completely different conversations, you know, because it's one thing to heckle a guy who's shooting free throws or who's at bat or something like that to talk some shit to try to throw him off. But it's like a whole nother fucking threshold when you start throwing shit at people and especially fucking spitting. Like, that's just crazy. Like, when that guy spit, it looked like – I think it was 50 Cent and his fucking girlfriend in front of them. If I was him, I'd have been pissed that he fucking spit over me at him. You know what I mean? Like, that's just completely ridiculous to me to, you know
what I'm saying? Was it 50 Cent? Yeah, I knew he looked like him.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure
it was him. I didn't know if it was him or not.
He's courtside, so I think it was him. But, you know what I mean? To, like, open your fucking mouth and spit at this guy is ridiculous to
me. I'll tell you what, it's not COVID-friendly at all.
That's why we can't have nice things, man. Motherfuckers are not out.
Yeah. Find our asses back out of stadium, Joe. Motherfuckers keep spitting on people. But, Chance, like you said, too, like, people hate Russ. I don't get it because they're just Russ haters. But there is always fans. The dude in the playoffs a couple years ago came onto the court into his face. You know what I'm saying? The Utah fans – wait, yelling racist shit at him, which Utah just did it again, saying racist shit to John Morant's dad. Like, bro, like, at one of these times, like, Russ is going to Ron Artest it.
Yeah.
They're going to find Russ in the fucking stands beating somebody's head in.
I mean, what do you expect the guy to do, though? Like, how much fucking disrespect is he? You know, like, he's a pro athlete and all that shit, and we try to put him on pedestals and hold him some kind of fucking higher standard. But at some point, like, what's he supposed to do as a man?
He's still a man, and he still needs to protect his fucking manhood, man.
Exactly.
And I think Red said it best one time. He's like, you can do everything you want when we start calling people fucking bitches and call them out their name like that. Hey, I'm still a man. I still gotta put up for what's right.
Yeah. No matter what profession you're in, whether you're a professional basketball player or you're a fucking bank teller or whatever you are, I'm a grown man first.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the second that you question my manhood, well, okay, well, something has got to be done about it, right? Yeah,
like you come to the bank and throw dollar bills at me or something like
that. And it's the same, it's the same as, you know, the keyboard warriors that you'll catch on Facebook and stuff. It's the same principle there. This dude is in the stands, knows that Russell Westbrook's not going to get all the way up to him.
Yeah.
So he's like, let me dump this popcorn on him because I know security will be here before anything happens to me. I'm going to get kicked out of here, but that's it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they're not having to – they're not having to pay the consequences for their actions.
For their actions.
Which Russ said it best in his interview afterwards. They asked him about it. He said, if I was in the street, he wouldn't come up to me and pour popcorn on me because he knows what the fuck would happen.
Yeah, that's a fact. That fucking quote, dude. That's real.
You wouldn't come up to me and disrespect me in the street, bro, because you know what happened. Like, yeah, yeah.
And that's real as shit, though. Like, you ain't just going to walk up to somebody and pour popcorn on them because you're going to get your ass punched in the fucking mouth. Like,
have you lost your fucking mind, guy?
Yeah.
You exactly. Damn sure ain't going to spit on somebody.
Yeah, yeah, that's – and that's like Sharp said, that's the biggest one.
Yeah.
Like, the fans fighting, like, those are fans. Like, I guess fight it out. Hell, I don't know. But yeah. Your ass going to jail. But – and then the popcorn, it's fucked up. But spitting on somebody, like
– it makes the popcorn thing not look that bad.
Yeah, like
– it really does.
Like, bro, like, there's been – Ron Artest got a drink thrown at him and came up there and thumped some heads. Like, what would have done if you spit on him?
If more shit like that happened, though, more Ron Artest moments, motherfuckers would stop doing that shit, though.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But what I love, too, is, you know, after that, and then they started chanting the Trae Young's balding, and New York beats him to tie it up 1-1. Trae Young's walking off the floor, and he's telling the fans, I'll see you back in the A. I'll see you back in the A. And we got the game on right now. Trae Young's in their ass. Like, I understand that you're mad because this – but you're mad at this guy for doing his job well. He's doing a job that he's paid to do, and you're mad about it. I get it. Believe me. Those Warrior teams that we talked about last week, when they were beating OKC, come back 3-1, I hated them. But never one time would it have crossed in my mind that if I'm sitting courtside and Steph Curry's in front of me, you know what? I'm going to spit on this dude.
Yeah, dude.
It never would have crossed my mind. No. I probably would have told him to eat shit.
Yeah, but you wouldn't have, like, tripped him or thrown anything. And to me, all that shit's in the same category. Like,
yeah, but that's like I was saying, man. That's the line. Like, you may say whatever you want to say to him, but you start spitting on him, like, come on. You know, that's the line right there. I guess too far.
Yeah, no, I agree. And the Russ and Trae Young that'll segue us into we're going to hop into the NBA here because we do have the playoffs going on. I told you guys, I just – updated you guys on the Hawks and Knicks. The Hawks are in their ass up right now. They're up 14, I believe, something like that. Yeah. Late in the game. But these series have, I mean, they're a little shocking to me. I didn't expect the Clippers to be down 2-0. I expected Miami to put up a little bit more of a fight. I'll sit here and tell you that the Wizards are coming back, but you know, I have to. You know what I mean? I gotta tell you that. But the Wizards don't have anybody to stop Embiid. You know what I mean? And Embiid, he don't get hurt this year. He walks away with the MVP. So, what do you – David, you kick us off on this one. What do you think about the playoff series so far?
So, the biggest surprise for me is the Clippers-Mavs series. Like, I thought the Clippers were a much better team than they look right now. And I have a feeling they're going to fucking get swept. Like, yeah. I can go through all the fucking games. None of them are like – super remarkable to me, to be honest, but the Clippers getting shit on by the Mavericks really fucking surprises me, to be honest.
Yeah, if you look at the last, and I know it was the end of the season, but if you look at the last two games of the regular season for the Clippers, they got beat out. By Houston and I think OKC. They got beat by OKC. I think it was OKC and Houston.
Yep.
And then they go into this series and just tank, man. They look terrible, out of sync right now. They have no business being down. They have no business being down 2-0 right now.
Which I think is funny because they tried to dodge the Lakers and they're going to go get fucking swept by the Mavericks.
That's what I'm saying. Right, they held out. Like, these dudes literally sat everybody to take a loss to Houston and OKC, two of the worst teams in the league, to one a sole reason of dodging the Lakers. And now Luke is going to sweep your ass. Like, I love it.
I do too. And I'll take that back. The Heat. Getting 3-0 right now, down 3-0 to the Bucks.
I thought they'd put up a better fight, but I didn't think they'd beat the Bucks.
Yeah, the Heat's not the Heat this year. I don't think the Heat are the team they were last year by any means. And then them going against, you know, up against Milwaukee first round, like that's a tough draw. I mean, Milwaukee's shooting it well right now. So, you know, I can see that one. But I'm with you guys on the Clippers game, the Clippers series. It's surprising that they're down. They have no business being down 2-0 right now.
Right. They're way too damn talented. Which, right. Our next team that we haven't mentioned yet, so I'm saving them for you, Chance. I think your boys are finding their groove. Are the Lakers back?
They're a bunch of bad motherfuckers when you got everybody together out there. They're tough to beat.
Yeah.
And the good thing is you know, when you see LeBron out there with his LeBron face on, and then you see him out there smiling as he's going up against Jay Crowder and then taking him straight to the fucking rack for
the first layup
and nailing it. Man, he's gonna wrap it up for him, man. The Suns are gonna be going home after this one for sure. But the Suns, man, they're a really good, well put together team right now. I like what I'm seeing, and it's with KCP out, it's gonna be a little tougher. Hopefully he makes a good comeback, and you know, they take it to the fucking rack on them. But man, the Lakers are strong when everybody's healthy.
Yep, and that's all their problem was, they had injuries. Like we talked about it, as soon as they get their groove back, like they're going to be the Lakers. And you know, like you were saying, I agree with you. I think the Suns, they're definitely not bad. They're a 2 seed. You know what I'm saying? But, but Chris Paul is hurt right now. That showed.
Yeah.
The Suns keep saying he's 100%. Chris Paul's not 100% if he's got 7 points. Like he's hurt, and the Suns, as good as Devin Booker is, the Suns do not go without Chris Paul. Like, if they ain't got Chris Paul, like, this one's over 4-1 if he's still hurt. Yeah. They won't win another one.
I agree with you there. And Chris Paul, dude, he's – you know, you see what he did at OKC. He fucked around and went to the Suns, possibly the worst team in the league, and took them to a 2 seed in the playoffs the next season. I think that's wild as shit.
Yeah.
And I got mad respect for Chris Paul. I used to hate the guy until he started playing for OKC, and then I warmed up to him a lot. And then seeing what he did at the Suns, dude, I just got mad love for the guy.
Oh, when he was with the Clippers, I despised him, dude. I hated him.
But yeah, I think Chance, you're super right about that.
I got kind of a hot take here.
Okay.
I got kind of a hot take here. Kind of leading into probably the next game we're talking about. The Nuggets and the Blazers. Nuggets up 2-1 right now, I believe. My prediction here, and this is my hot take, not only do the Blazers come back and beat the Nuggets, they beat the Lakers next round.
Holy fuck!
Okay, I was about to say, if you were going to say your hot take was the Blazers come back and beat the Nuggets, I was going to be I don't think that's too much of a hot take, because I can jump on that board, but they ain't beating the Lakers.
I don't
especially
know.
Especially in the second round, because then the Lakers are going to be back to full strength.
Hear me out. You got Covington, right? Throw Covington on LeBron. You got Nurk, and you got Cantor, which Cantor's not defensive, but you got Nurk down low. And they're gonna have some help on AD. So the complimentary players are going to have to win that game for them. And they're going to have to do it in a 7-game series. And
I'm telling you if they put Covington exclusively on LeBron, it's going to be a long fucking series.
Yeah, and you might be right. I just think, you know, the way that they score, they got two of the most electric guards in the league. And then defensively, they're big guys. I mean, I think they got a shot. That's just my hot take. I could fall on my face, and I could be completely wrong. But
I'm taking the
first two rounds. I'm taking the Blazers the first two rounds.
That's not completely out of the realm of possible, man. It's because I'm not sure how injured the Lakers were during the season. Yeah. Every game they played the Trailblazers, but the Trailblazers swept them this year. Yeah. So, I mean, but they have to make it past the fucking Nuggets, who also have a really good team, although without Jamal Murray, you know.
Yeah.
The Joker pulled shit out of his ass.
That's
the X factor right there, is not having Murray. You know, they got – I mean, they're leaning on Michael Porter Jr., who showed up. I mean, he's playing right now. You know, he's good. I'm not taking anything away from him, but I don't think that they have enough to win the series. And that's just me. I could be completely wrong there, but I'm just saying, man, the Blazers are dangerous.
Right on. I'm gonna remember that, and I'm gonna keep that in my pocket because it sounds like a really good hot take.
You ain't gotta tell us Portland's dangerous. We're all from OKC.
We know we know all about Dame time.
We know what Dame time fucking is. Blazers. That's a good one. I like that one, Sharp.
I mean, it's not like it is a hot take, believe me, but it's not an outlandish one. No. I'll say that because I mean, if Dame gets hot for a series, like. I mean, shit, that dude could average 50 for a series very easily.
Absolutely.
He dropped 37 in their last game.
But I'm just saying –
with him and
– I'm just saying, Covington cannot guard LeBron. And you just said that they're going to have help on AD. If you got help on AD, you're going to have to help on LeBron. You can only help so many places.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because you can't put two on AD, two on LeBron, because then you got three motherfuckers out there just sitting by themselves.
Absolutely. I'm with you there. I'm with you
Casey,
there.
KCP can shoot it. Kuz is capable of going off for 30. If he gets on, Schroeder's going to quietly – Schroeder's one of those dudes that's going to – he's going to kill you by small cuts.
He's going to quietly double-double.
He's going to kill you by small cuts because you look at the box score and it'll be like Schroeder with 26, and you're like, when did he fucking score 26?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Hey, I had –
he's very quiet, but he's always dropping 20 on you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I had both those guys in fantasy basketball this year, so I know how it goes. Kuzma and Schroeder.
And then let's stay on the NBA for a couple more here. Let's hop back into the Sun side of it. We'll stay in this series. And Chance, this is, you know, you said you wanted to make sure we put this one in here, and this was D-Book's foul last night that he got ejected for. I'll let you start it because this is the one that you know you wanted to talk about, and then we can give you our thoughts on it.
Yeah, so I don't know if everybody's probably saw it by now, but Dennis Schroeder drives through the lane. D-Book, you know, it's closing seconds of the game. Lakers are about to lock it up. D-Book or Schroeder goes up for a jumper, whatever, you know, kind of a circus shot, whatever. D-Book just shoves him. Pushes him out of bounds while he's in the fucking air. We all have played basketball. We all know how dangerous that is. That can complete. I've seen players get injured. I've seen players break their legs doing shit like that.
Yep.
And that's it's completely uncalled for. And I think that's way out of character for Devin Booker to do something like that as well.
I agree.
So, man, yeah. I mean, everybody knows that. I thought Devin Booker was a stand-up guy until after I saw him do that to an opposing player.
Right.
Yeah. And I understand, you know, it's going to get chippy. It's playoff basketball, you know, hard fouls. I think AD said almost the same thing I'm going to say in an interview last night. But hard fouls are going to happen. They're going to let the guys play and shit, but that was obviously flagrant. He deserved to get ejected, and I think he should sit out the next game just because fuck him for that one. But, man, that was totally uncalled for, man, straight up.
I'll hop on second on this one. I'll back up what you're saying. I'm okay with hard fouls, especially in the playoffs. If it's a fucking Wednesday night game that – you know, is game 41 of the season and you're down 13. Like, don't be fouling people hard with 30 seconds left in the game. You know what I mean? Like, y'all got a long season ahead. I'm okay with hard fouls in the playoffs because, you know, playoffs matter. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, dude goes – like, especially with Dwight Howard in Philly. That dude gets the ball on the block. The Wizards are hard fouling him. You can't let him get the bucket. Send him to the line. But there's a way to hard foul somebody.
Yeah.
I'm with you, Chance, on this. As soon as you extend your arms and you push him, when he's in the air, he has nowhere to go. If you push him, he's got nowhere to go. Like, it's incredibly weak to me. Like, it's just cheap. And he didn't full on just, you know, try to push him through the fucking first row. But still, you pushed him in the air where he's got no control over his body now. You extend your arms, that's weak as hell.
Yeah, and I'm gonna agree with both of y'all. I think on the surface, when you watch it, to Zach's point, it doesn't look like he just shoves him with all his fucking strength. But like you said, Chance, when you're playing basketball and you're in the air, like it's so unbelievably dangerous. What would have happened if he would have fucking Schroeder falls down and breaks his fucking leg or something? Like some freak accident happens, yeah, like Zach said, you know, you can hard foul somebody the right way. You didn't have to push him in the air like that. Just on the chance that something horrible fucking happened to him. That's what makes it egregious to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, because what happens if he does break his fucking leg? Yep. Why didn't push him that hard? It doesn't matter.
Yep. It's a non-basketball play.
Mm-hmm.
You can foul somebody making it a basketball play.
He could have wrapped him up or anything.
Yeah.
You didn't have to push him in the air.
Yeah. And even if he's upset that the Lakers are in their ass.
Sure.
Wait. Hard foul him and then get in his face.
Mm-hmm.
What you got on it, Sharp?
On the foul? Man, I didn't see it live, but I'm kind of with you guys. Man, there's a way to do it. Like, if that's the way you're going to go about it, like, you know, there's a way to do it and be safe. Like, I don't think that, you know, if you're fouling in the way that you guys are talking about, you know, I just think there's a way to go about it. And the way that he did it is not that. You know, and so
I mean,
I'm with you guys there. In theory, I didn't see it, so I don't have a lot on that. But as far as what you guys are saying, man, I'm with you. I think there's a way to do it. I think that it kind of set the tone of the game. You know, you get a guy in there and give a hard foul. You know, but if you're out there trying to hurt people, that's just not the way to go about it. So that's really
tomorrow,
all.
Tomorrow's gonna be fun. Tomorrow's gonna be fun when they get after it again, but
yeah.
I mean, just to keep it a buck with you guys, like, it's safer if you're upset about it, punch him in the fucking mouth.
Yeah,
that's safer. You know what I mean?
Blow his knee out getting punched.
Wait,
yeah.
If you're getting ejected either way, punch him in his shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, it don't, like, if somebody's airborne, don't fucking push them. Like,
it's too risky. No.
Yeah,
it's too risky.
Because I mean, like you said, David, he tears an ACL there, like.
Now what?
Like, you, not only did you affect these playoffs, but you affected his career. You affected Schroeder's season next year. And Schroeder's a fucking free agent at the end of the year. You think Schroeder's going to get Schroeder money if he tears his ACL in the first round of the playoffs this year?
Nope.
It's just a bonehead play because it's so fucking risky. And, you know, to your point, that could have affected this man for a long fucking time. And you want to just push him in the air like that? It's just bullshit. It's a weak ass fucking move to me.
Weak.
Last thing with the injuries that
we've seen to Paul George and, you know, guys like that who have had traumatic injuries on plays kind of like that. You know, yeah, I think that's just kind of you know, kind of bullshit the way that he went about it. And then I'm with you guys. I mean, there's a way to do it, and that's not it. I mean, that's dangerous.
Yep, I agree. Last thing I got for the NBA topic, and we ain't gotta spend a hell of a lot of time on it. We talked about him last week. I think you guys can give y'all's opinions. We talked about that Mavs Clippers series. If they get swept or it's 4-1 and they get dipped with all the shit that they gave up to bring in Kawhi and PG, if they get swept or they bounce out in the first round 4-1, I think Kawhi's gone, dude. He didn't sign that extension. I said it last week. If you were dead set in LA, you would have signed that extension when Paul George signed his. Something there is telling me you're not dead set on LA. You know what I'm saying?
If he wasn't going to be loyal with Pop and the Spurs whenever they were at their best,
right?
He's not going to be fucking loyal for the LA Clippers when they can't win a playoff series, man. Yep. I think he's gone. And I love to see it because I hate Kawhi Leonard now, and I absolutely hate Paul George, man. So to see them get split up, fuck out of here.
I would love it, dude.
Hey, and that's a really good take, Chance, because as much as I fucking just hate Kawhi Leonard for no reason, like, I never would have thought he would have abandoned the Spurs like that. And it made me think differently about him. So I definitely don't think he has no fucking loyalty to L.A.
But to his defense, which, again, I don't know Kawhi. I don't talk to Kawhi. But the rumors that came out on why he was disgruntled is because of that Spurs doctor. Like, the Spurs denied him getting a second opinion on his quad. So he felt like the Spurs were trying to control him and weren't letting him go venture out and get a second opinion. So it pissed him off. But like we said last week, we don't know if Kawhi's mad. We don't know if he's happy. We don't know if he wants to leave. We don't know if he wants to stay in LA because he don't fucking talk. So, like, dude, just say something.
fucking. Yeah, I have an odd feeling.
Give us a hint.
Put that shit on. I have an odd feeling that Pop would take way better care of his athletes than that. And I absolutely loved Kawhi Leonard when he was at the Spurs, dude. I thought he was great and an amazing player. And then once he bounced out, dipped, sat out because he didn't want to play, and acted like he was hurt that whole time. Man, I thought that was soft. I thought that was really soft. And then he dipped out. So that's I can't wait.
And you know, with him being a free agent, if he bounces, I think if he bounces, he goes to Miami, because he's not going with small market. He's in it. Kawhi's a big market guy. We've seen that. Like, he wanted to go to L.A., you know. I think he goes to Miami. And if Kawhi leaves as a free agent, you know what's coming out in, like, the 3 days after. Paul George would walk into that office and be like, oh, I know I signed the extension, but I want traded.
Yeah.
Same shit. I don't know, here in OKC.
I don't know, man. Paul George is a California guy, right?
Yeah, he's still a hoe, though.
I mean, there may be perks for him to stay, but, you know, who are they going to bring in? And that's kind of the question. And I think that there's a reason guys do things. There's a reason Kawhi didn't sign that extension. And maybe he's waiting on something, waiting to see what happens here in the series. You know, you never really know what's going on behind the scenes. But, yeah, I mean, I think if they get bounced in the first round, like, that's definitely grounds for him to, like, start saying, hey, you know, maybe I need to look for somewhere else to go. I don't think he's loyal to L.A.
But here's why I think he leaves. Because Kawhi, I mean, all NBA players, they obviously want to win, right? They want to win a championship.
More now than ever, or now more
than
ever.
The Clippers built that team to win championships now. If they can't get it done, which they haven't been able to, well, they can't bring nobody in to fucking help those two. All their assets are gone. They spent all their assets in getting those two guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, their help is not on the way. Like, you're set with what you got. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
Yeah, so yeah, I'm with you there. I'm with you there, too.
I think that's why he didn't sign the extension. I think he probably knew, hey, like, we're not beating the Brooklyns. We're not beating the Lakers.
Shit, they're about to get swept by the Mavs.
Yeah.
I pray that happens. God, I pray that happens.
I do, too. Dude. Nothing would make me happier, dude. A perfect world, Clippers get swept, Brooklyn gets swept.
Perfect world. Oh, my God. Absolutely, I mean, perfect NBA.
We didn't bring that series up. That one's well over with Boston.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, what happened to Boston this year, man? I mean,
Jaylen Brown's out for the year.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I mean, they got Tatum and Kemba, but, I mean – yeah, I guess they just don't have enough, you know, to run with the Nets. I mean, without Jaylen, you know, but yeah, this was supposed to be like their year, you know, to kind of do something. And man, it's really been underwhelming watching them this year.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. Now I think these people are going to really put a lot of respect on Jaylen's name. They've been underestimating this cat. They hate him a lot.
He's always
a superstar.
Sure. He's been Robin to Tatum's Batman since he's been there, and it's showing now on how damn important he is to that Boston team.
Yes, sir.
All right, let's hop out of the NBA here and get to the NFL. We're trying to hurry through these topics a little bit because we had some listener questions this week, so that way we don't make it a 2-hour episode. We talked about it a little bit last week, but then it's came out today that the Falcons are talking about Julio could be moved by the end of next week. Like, it's time. They're done. And, you know, especially with Julio coming on Undisputed this week and saying, no, I'm out of there. Like, now it's official. You know what I'm saying? Like, he said he requested the trade back in March. They're about to move him. I've heard that 4 front runners have emerged to get him. Sadly, Chance, the Cardinals aren't one of them, is what SportsCenter saying, which I think would be a nasty combination. But they're saying either the Niners, the Patriots, the Ravens, or the Titans.
I've also heard the Rams too. I heard the Rams in there.
The Rams? I haven't heard the Rams yet. I don't really like that fit, the Rams, for him.
Right. Like, he wants to go somewhere
and win right now.
Right. Yeah. I'll talk a little more about it when we get to our last topic, because it kind of goes hand in hand, but yeah, man, I mean, the Rams would be an okay fit with Stafford, you know, because he can air it out, you know. But, I saw some reports that Julio's crew is now saying that the phone call on Undisputed, well, he didn't know he was live. Have you guys heard anything about that?
I didn't hear that he didn't know he was live. I knew about the phone call.
I knew Shannon Sharp called him. I didn't hear that Julio didn't think it was live.
I saw some reports on that. Just I was doing some research for today, and I stumbled upon some videos and heard some things and some articles. Heard that they're trying to claim that he didn't know he was live now.
Well, when we get done with this, I'll text him.
All right. Yeah.
Hey, bro, did you know you were on live TV when you said that shit?
Yeah, hey, we're hearing this. Ethan Sharp was on our podcast tonight and said that you didn't know you were live. Is that true? Chance, I'm still on board with you, dude. Like, I think it needs to be the Cardinals. Like, that shit would be so nasty, him and D-Hop, and then A.J. Green. You got A.J. Green as a third option, you're doing something right.
Yeah, that's pretty solid, man. I like the hell out of that, dude. Nuck, boy.
And solid. So they keep saying the Titans, and I see A.J. Brown's recruiting him heavy on all social media platforms. To me, though, like, if I'm Julio – I have no interest in Tennessee.
No.
Because
that's the Derrick Henry show.
They got Ryan Tannehill, which he's a better quarterback now, but I think there's reasons to that. Ryan Tannehill was ass in Miami.
Ass.
But he's I guess we can call him good now that he's in Tennessee because Tennessee's good. But like what you just said, Sharp, it's because you turn around and hand the ball to Derrick Henry.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's why
any quarterback is going to be efficient and better when they've got a guy like that in the backfield they can just turn and hand it to. You know, defenses have to prepare for Derrick Henry, so he's getting wide open looks on the outside, and you know, the numbers speak for themselves as far as where it was in Miami.
It takes fucking eight guys to stop Derrick Henry.
Speaking on that, teams are going to stop loading the box on Derrick Henry just because they don't want to end up on SportsCenter from getting fucking stiff-armed through the ground. And what do y'all think about the Ravens? I mean, I guess that's not terrible. Like, Ravens are built to win right now, depending on how Lamar plays.
I mean, my take on all of it is it's kind of like, you know, Chance had mentioned the Cardinals last week or 2 weeks ago, and then fucking what's his name? D-Hop says he'd restructure his contract and all this other shit. It's just kind of hard for me not to see him go there.
I don't understand that, man. That'd be my first shot right there. You got somebody who can throw the ball. You got a counterpart. Let's go.
But we also have to remember, too, it's a whole different situation if it's Julio's choice, if he's a free agent. Because the Falcons play a huge role in it on what they're going to get back. You know what I mean? If the Cardinals are like, hey, man, we want to team him up with D-Hop. D-Hop's going to restructure his contract, but we want to give you a sixth-round pick for him. The Falcons are going to be like, okay, no. Like, so it's a different ball game if he was a free agent. So, yeah. I mean, the Falcons know that they got a gem in Julio, obviously. One of the best receivers in the league. They're gonna want something back for him, which ESPN today said that they have a first-rounder on the table for him. It didn't say who it was. But somebody has offered a first, which,
wow.
I mean, if I'm Atlanta, I'd jump on that one.
Yeah.
First are hard to come by.
I mean, he's obviously worth the first, but, you know, they also just got Pitts in the draft. So, you know, they may be looking to build around that and Ridley.
And so our next NFL topic, Chance, I want you to take this one because this one's way up your alley, especially being a personal trainer. The pictures of Tebow this week, that dude in his 8-year hiatus has not missed a day in the gym.
Nah, that boy is brolic as hell. You can definitely know.
Bro, he is so swole.
Yeah, he's been working. One of those pictures, it was him catching a pass, and it looked like he didn't even have shoulder pads on. It was just his fucking shoulders.
It was just his shoulders.
Yeah. And he looks like a solid ass dude. So I'm wondering if that cat from the Steelers is really going to be able to push him around this time. Because I'm a Tebow fan. I love his work ethic and I love his leadership, man. And I can't wait to see what he does out there. So him being as big as he is now just makes it all a little bit better, I think, for everybody else who was kind of rooting for this guy because, you know, he's a solid guy, solid shape, solid athlete all around.
Yeah, I'm on the Tebow train now.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Not that I wasn't to begin with.
Right now? What does he list at?
I don't know his listing.
I didn't see that either, but 85 tight ends. His number's going to be 85. That's going to be weird.
Yeah. I got a couple things on that, you know. For one, just quickly, I thought he looked yacked when he fucking had his little baseball tryout. I was like, damn, there's no way he can get any bigger. That motherfucker has put on some muscle, bro. And to me, that speaks to his commitment in a transition. Like, it's not like the Jacksonville signs him at tight end and they're somehow doing some kind of weird fucking witchcraft to get him in at QB. Like, he's putting on fucking size. And to me, that tells me
a tight end.
That tells me he's committed to being a fucking tight end in the NFL. Just the amount of fucking size he's playing. He's huge, dude.
Absolutely, man.
Yeah, he's
right.
You know what I'm saying though? Like, does that tell you that like he's committed to being a fucking lineman that catches passes?
Yeah. What? Because even when he was a quarterback, he didn't have the greatest arm. But if he was ever trying to play quarterback again, he's not putting on the size that he did.
Right.
He ain't launching no football at different concepts anymore.
Now he's too big for that shit.
Well, I think that was kind of the debate when he came out of college was, you know, is he an NFL quarterback or does he need to play tight end? I think that was kind of a conversation when he came out. And, you know, obviously he went the quarterback route and it didn't really work out for him. So maybe this is him just trying to say, hey, I'm here to play ball. Like, you know, he's got the mentality of a quarterback. So if he can – I think the biggest hurdle for him is going to be, like, learn how to block, you know, because, I mean, he's played quarterback his whole life. He's never done that. You know,
yeah, so, that's a really good point, man. I really like that one.
Yeah, I think that, you know, he's going to – I mean, he played outfield in baseball. He's going to have the soft hands. He's going to be able to catch the ball. He knows where he needs to be. He knows how to read a playbook, you know. His biggest hurdle is going to be, like, getting in there and banging bodies with those linebackers and linemen.
Right, you know? But I think that's why he's putting on so much damn size.
Yeah, but that's my point.
He's built for it now. Like,
he got
right,
on purpose.
Right, and absolutely.
Yeah,
and, he's definitely
we're all leaving out.
I'm with you guys,
facts.
Man. I'm with the Tebow also.
Tebow is such a great dude. Like, wait, you think he's like an Andrew Luck guy? You know, Andrew Luck used to be mic'd up and somebody would rock his shit, and Andrew Luck would get up and be like, "Hey, nice hit, sir." But you think that. Tebow's that way? I guarantee.
Absolutely. Oh, I bet he is.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, we're all leaving out the beautiful fact that he's got the power of the Lord on his side.
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody hits Tim Tebow, he says a prayer with him right there.
Yeah, yeah, or Tebow, you know, if some scrum breaks out on the field and somebody looks at Tebow and is like, "Fuck you, Tim," and he'd be like, "Hey, you know, find me after the game, we'll pray about it." You know, there's no reason to be like that. Find me after the game, we'll pray about it, and then you just got to be like, damn it, Tim, I'm sorry.
That's another thing, man, is I'm so happy and I'm so proud of the guy for keeping his faith and the way he does, you know, for so long through all the grief he took, you know, back in the day when he was doing the Tebow, you know, the kneel. And so I thought it was pretty awesome that he said, "I don't care what you guys say, man. God's my guy."
Yeah, absolutely. His character is not in question whatsoever.
Never will be.
Last NFL topic we got now. When we ran through the quarterbacks last week, and we had Mac Jones come up, we were all three agreed that we're like, yeah, you know, he's in a set of year behind Cam, and you know, then they'll roll with Mac and see what happens. But then just literally yesterday, ESPN posted stories that Patriots coaches, along with the veterans on the team, are super impressed with Mac Jones and how he's carrying himself and how he's throwing the football and all that. And now, wait, does it make you guys question, is it Mac or Cam? Because I thought it was for sure Cam, you know, for the year contract that he signed, that Cam's rolling this year. Mac will have his shot at the end of the year. But, I mean, any questions now that they go with Mac? And if they do go with Mac, what happens to Cam, do y'all think?
Man, this is so this is the topic. When I saw the topics list today, I was like, man, this is the one I want to get in on, because, you know, I don't know who they're going to go with week one. Yeah, they may go with Cam week one. Maybe Mac's not ready. But if you look at the coaches, man, Saban and Belichick, they're tight. Like they're tight. There's an HBO special on them. I'll probably watch it 10 times now. Of them, you know, they get together in the off season. They talk football. You know, Belichick asked him about his guys. He had a deal where he was talking about other teams who draft Alabama players, and he was like, man, a lot of these teams never ask me. You know, Belichick's one of the few guys that actually asked me about my players, you know. So I think – and I've been wanting to see it for a long time, man, because Alabama, you know, they're a powerhouse, but they're also a system. You know, they're a system where, you know – yeah, they get the horses every year to go and win, but it doesn't matter who's in there. They can have the second string guy, third string guy, whatever. They're still going to go win. And when Brady was in New England, it was that way. It didn't matter what receivers were out there, what tight ends were out there, what running backs they had in the game. They were going to be successful. And I think I've always wanted to see an Alabama guy go to New England and run that system. And it's finally happened, man. And I'm excited about it. Like, I think Mac – and another hot take maybe, but I think Mac might be the next king of New England.
That's solid hot take.
I was about to say, don't be hot taking us and saying he's the next Tom Brady.
I didn't say that.
I don't know if we'll ever see another Tom.
Who was the last king of New England?
Tom. I mean, obviously okay,
well,
Tom.
Well, you said the next king of New England. You're flirting on the line there, Ethan.
I'm not saying he's going to be Brady, but – I think he's going to be good, man. I'm really excited to see what he does there with Belichick. Belichick, because, you know, Belichick's had to coach his ass off with Cam because that's not his style, you know. I mean, he's had to find new ways to score and move the ball. But, man, you get Mac in there who's a good decision maker, can throw the ball. You know, he's more of a Brady-like quarterback. I mean, I'm not saying he's obviously not at that level. He's a rookie, but, you know, he's got the tools like – I think he's going to be good, man. That's my take on Mac, man. I think, and especially with the guys they brought in, you know, they brought the Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith, and then there's talks about Julio. Like, they bring those guys in, they get Julio. I mean, they've already got the other two. They get Julio, man. It could be a good year, man. It could be, you know, the way that Joe Burrow did last year before he got hurt. You know, he could be like that. But like I said, I don't know if he's going to be ready by season. But I think that, you know, in the long run, man, he's going to be the guy.
So I think it's funny that now that these guys are praising him and giving him a lot of love and saying he's got swag and all this shit, when on his pro days, mm-hmm. they were really concerned because he was overthrowing. He wasn't as accurate. But mm-hmm. it looks like he was nervous there, brought some confidence with him and actually turned it around and became the Mac Jones that we saw in Alabama. And I think that's awesome. Now, when it comes down to week one, I think they're going to start Cam.
I do think,
I think they're going to, give Cam, you know, his money's worth and see if he can turn it around because, I mean, let's be honest, the last season he played, I mean, he wasn't that fucking good with them. Sucks to say because I like Cam Newton just fine. He's a good player and he shows out, but, you know, he's just not that good with New England. It sucks to say that. But I think they're going to give Cam a shot. And then, you know, Mac Jones comes in week two, week three, maybe week four. And I think Mac Jones just kind of lights it up, man, and just does his rookie thing. I hope that happens. I mean, I don't have nothing against Mac Jones other than he played for Alabama football, but he sounds right. like a really good kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm going to agree with you, Chance. I think Cam gets the nod week one just because he's – he didn't have a great year, but he's still a, you know, more or less proven veteran. But I think he's on super thin ice. I don't think you go get a guy 15 overall in the first round to not fucking play if your starter doesn't get the job done. So I'll keep it short on that. But I think Cam gets the nod week one, but he's on thin fucking ice. And if he goes out there and doesn't perform like the Patriots want him to perform, we're going to be seeing Mac Jones real early in the fucking season.
I feel that, man.
And I think you – if I say anything about this, I'm just going to reiterate what you guys said. But the only thing I agree with you on, or I agree with all of it that you guys said, but I super agree with one that you said, Chance. I just hated him because he's an Alabama quarterback.
That's it, man.
And yeah. I kind of questioned, just to be honest, I kind of questioned how good of a quarterback he is, as dumb as that sounds, because he was a starter at fucking Alabama. Like – you got to be good to start there. But I questioned it how good he was because he had Saban. because he had Devontae Smith, he had Sarkisian, he had Najee Harris. So I kind of question how good of a quarterback he is without thinking like, oh, well, he's also still a starter at Alabama. You know what I mean?
It's the same thing as the Derrick Henry effect. When you know you got a guy that's going to rush for 2,000 yards in a season, it's a lot of pressure off of you.
No doubt, man. I agree with everything that you guys said. I think y'all nailed it right on the head. We said that we were going to try to get through those topics kind of quick. I said quick. We kind of went a little bit long. But let's hop into the listener questions. We got four of them this week, and we'll shout out these guys, and we'll answer their questions, and then we'll wrap it up for week 14. First one coming from Marlon Lewis. Shout out to Marlon. One of these days, Marlon is going to come on with us. I've tried to get him on a couple of times, but the timing hasn't been right, but he's definitely going to join us. Shout out to Marlon, and shout out to Marlon's podcast as well, Devil's Advocate. You guys go listen to that. They know sports just like we do. They're a fun listen, just like I hope we are. I hope we're a fun listen. But Marlon's question is, and this is an age-old question. This one comes up all the time, but I guess, you know, it's starting to get back into it now that it looks like they're going to. The NCAA comes out and says that if they start paying athletes, then they're going to basically call the athletes an employee of the university. I'm okay with that. Call them whatever the fuck you want to. Pay them. You know what I'm saying? That's my thoughts on it. I've gone on a little rant here for a second. I'll just go ahead and finish my thought, and then I'll let you guys kick it off. I think athletes should be paid for the simple fact of what people – you know, I hate the people that are always say like, well, I mean, athletes are paid because they ain't got to pay for school. They're on scholarship. Okay, one, not every kid there is on scholarship. Let's start with that one for starters. Second, for the people that have not been a college athlete, you don't understand that 8 a.m. to noon is when you have to get your fucking classes in. You have to take morning classes because you got practice in the afternoon. Your coach ain't going to let you miss practice. Your practice goes for X amount of hours. Well, then you got weights and conditioning. You got to work out. You got to run. You got to be in shape to be a college athlete. You got to make the grades. So most coaches are going to require a study hall. A day in the life of the athlete, I mean, it starts at 8 a.m. You might not get done with all your mandatory shit until 8 p.m. at night. Okay, that's just the shit that you got to go to, right? And then if you got tests coming up, you got finals or whatever, you study for a couple hours. Paper you got homework. You got, you know, whatever it's due, papers due, whatever. You got to get that shit done. You're not laying your head down in bed till 11 o'clock midnight just to get up and do the whole damn thing over again. So it's damn near impossible to work. So pay these kids. And the reason why I say pay them is because let's go back to 2-3 years ago. If you go down the road to Norman, Oklahoma, and you go to an OU football game, you see there's, what, 90,000 fans in that stadium? Fuck, 30,000 of them got on a number 6 jersey.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they are going out. You're going out and buying an OU number 6 jersey because it's Baker Mayfield.
Yep.
And because they're not paying Baker Mayfield, it doesn't say Mayfield on the back of it, right? But I didn't just go buy a random number 6 jersey. I bought it because Baker wears that number. Why couldn't Baker get any of that money?
Mm-hmm. I agree with you, dude. I think if you're going to use a player's likeness or image, they're entitled to money off their own fucking back. Like, how much money did OU make during Baker's tenure there? And we'll just use Baker because we're here. How much fucking money did they make just off his name alone?
A shit ton. Millions. Right?
And like you said, with the schedule and shit like that, bro, you know, you dominate all these people's time, all these athletes' time, and then they can't fucking work, and they're like, well, you know, you got to go to school here for free and play for OU. That's not enough, bro. Like, I think they should – I'll keep it fucking short. I think athletes should be paid.
Vance?
I have nothing to say now. You said everything I wanted to say.
But anything that I say or anything that you say, like, I swear our mind works the same.
pretty much.
Sharp, what do you got on it?
Yeah, man, I'm right there with you guys. And just – I'll just speak from experience, man. I was on scholarship at UCO. And during football season, we had Mondays as players' day off. And Monday after class was the only time I was able to work. And so I worked from – I think it was like two to Mondays, you know, once a week. and my paychecks every 2 weeks were like $180 or something like that, you know, and that's what I lived off of. You know, my scholarship money paid for my school. I took loans out, you know, to pay for other things. And then I was working one day a week. I mean, that was it. So, and I'm right there with you guys. I think athletes, with the time they have to put into their sport, and a lot of players are more than just a one sport athlete. Some guys are two sport athletes and they got to put in even more time. So, I think absolutely they should be paid, and it'll, you know, just help guys get by, you know, and that's the way it would have been for me if I were able to get paid when I was in school.
Yeah, and a big argument I always hear is, like, how do you determine, like, a fair wage? Because if you're a guy like Baker Mayfield, or you're a fucking, you know, fifth string receiver,
right?
Should you get paid more, or should you get paid? Well, at the end of the day, whoever brings in the most money should make the most money. It's the same way as if you've got a person with a PhD in whatever fucking field and they're super qualified, they make more money than somebody with a GED, for example. So I think, you know, your qualifications, they determine your net worth, quite frankly. So when you got a guy like Baker Mayfield and he's winning you fucking games and shit like that, yeah, he gets paid more than some of these other, like, you know, lesser known guys or guys that never see the field, for example. You would have to have some kind of, you'd have to have some kind of, like, baseline wage so cats weren't getting fucking robbed. Absolutely. But at the end of the day, if you are Baker and you're big ticket and you're fucking selling jerseys and tickets and putting asses in seats, you absolutely should get paid more. I think that's a bogus argument about why they shouldn't get paid.
Right. But, and I'll say this though, if I think it's got to start out with, like what you said, you know, Baker's putting ass in the seats. He's bringing more fans there than the backup punter, but you got to start out, you got to pay him all the same. Oh, you because it'd even? Be,
yeah,
it'd be,
I was
too,
gonna
damn,
say, how,
it'd be
how
too damn hard.
That?
How do you, like, how do you put either? A value on it? You know what I'm saying? Like, right. Because you'd have somebody, I mean, let's say you're going to pay Baker Mayfield $10 a game.
Yeah.
Right? CeeDee Lamb's going to be like, okay, well.
I want $10.
Wait, Baker's Baker because he's got somebody like me. So I want $10 a game. And then Hollywood Brown's going to be like, okay, well, I draw just as much shit as Baker and CeeDee do. So I need $10 a game.
Well, let me offer you this then. How about when you sell their fucking jersey – they get a percentage of stuff made directly off. So as far as the NCAA is concerned, everybody makes the same pay. But every Baker jersey, you get a certain percentage
of royalty off of it.
Exactly. Yeah. How about that? I mean, that's – so
we're like
making more money than certain players? Yes. But everyone's getting paid based by the NCAA.
I can agree with that, but that's going to have to take some time.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, yeah. I think it should be started out, just pay these motherfuckers X amount of dollars. Just so they can live, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I will say this, last thing that I got on the athletes being paid, if they do end up paying the athletes, I want my fucking back pay. I want my back pay. I was in that bitch for 5 years.
Said based on my zip code too, player.
I need that back pay, NCAA. All right, let's hop into our next listener question. We got Isaiah Clayton, who along with Marlon, also hosts Devil's Advocate. Again, shout out to Isaiah and Marlon, and shout out to Devil's Advocate. Go listen to that one. They're on Spotify with us. Like I said, it's a good listen, man. I love this question from Isaiah. This is, and we're gonna make this one a two-parter so that we can't cop out of it because we have the Thunder right down the road. But Isaiah wants to know, who is the greatest athlete that we have witnessed in person? So we're going to go down that road of, you know, if we went to an NBA game or an MLB game or an NFL game, that greatest athlete that we've witnessed in person, but then we're going to two-part it on the greatest athlete that we've witnessed in person that we have ties with. We've either played with them, we either played against them, or, you know, whatever it may be. So we'll make this one a two-parter. You want to kick us off, David?
Yeah, I got you, bud. So, like you said, with the Thunder being here and us living in Oklahoma, I've seen a lot of, you know, great basketball players. And I would say the best one I've seen in person at a game, it is LeBron James. Just because of, like, he is a physical fucking specimen, bro. And he's so dominant, even still to this day. So, I would say the greatest I've seen in person, because I ain't been to no NFL games, so LeBron James. And then the only one I could say I had ties with would be super loose because I didn't play baseball. But coming from Chandler, it'd be John Gray. I mean, he's the most successful person that I can say, like, sports world, that I can say, like, I know and can call a friend, you know. Right. So that's my two.
Ethan?
Yeah, so it's tough, man, because I, you know, I played with a guy who's probably kind of an unknown, Josh Birmingham, and he was just an absolute freak athlete at the Division II level. He, you know, he was up for the Harlan Hill, which is like the Division II Heisman Trophy his freshman year. So as far as guys that I've played with, man, he's a freak athlete. He's probably the best athlete that I've ever played with. But played against, man, I played against Janoris Jenkins my junior year. Played against North Alabama while he was there. And, man, just watching that guy on film trying to prepare for him, like, it was a nightmare. Like, we had to stay to the other side of the field, like, because he could play any route that we ran, man. He was just that fast. And so I would have to say Janoris Jenkins is probably the best player that I've played against. And then as far as witness, man, I know, Zach, you're going to like this, but, man, Russ, when he was at Oklahoma City, that's got to be Russ. He's the best athlete I've ever seen. I got to play briefly. His brother came and played at UCO while I was there. And so Russ was on the sidelines every day. So got to meet him, got to know him a little bit. And then, yeah, man, he's a freak. When he was at OKC, man, he was a freak. And he's still doing his thing. I know the Wizards are down right now, man, but he's the real deal, man. He's going to go down in history for sure.
Absolutely. And on my, you know, witness of these athletes, you know, I've seen LeBron play when he came to OKC, but you guys obviously know I'm going with Sharp on this one. It's, if we're talking athlete wise, it's Russ. Like, I don't like that dude's athleticism off the chart, but if it didn't have to be Russ, I won't take the cop out of Russ, because you guys know how big of a Russ fan that I am. I'm going to go with – I seen Kobe play here, and I'll take Kobe just because I think Kobe in the GOAT talks is above LeBron. So if I got him in the GOAT talks above LeBron, then he's got to be, you know, a better athlete that I've witnessed. So I'll go with Kobe on that one. And then the one that I would say that, you know, I got ties to, or, you know, played with or against – I didn't play with or against this guy, but I got ties to him because I know him personally, and that is Westbrook, because me and him are boys. And whenever this season's over, I'll probably either go out to DC or DC or Russ comes back to OKC.
Stop.
No, but the one that, I mean, shit, I got some good ones that, you know, we've talked about on podcast before. John Gray's up there, obviously. I mean, not many people can throw a baseball 100 miles an hour. Brian Anderson's another one that dude was just crazy athletic. I won't say Brian without Fulmer, because Fulmer is athletic as hell as well. I mean, a rookie of the year doing his thing in the MLB, but overall athlete-wise, like, Brian Anderson was special. Like, that dude could hit a baseball a mile. He could throw a baseball 95, 96 miles an hour. He could run. He could leg out triples. You know, he could turn singles into doubles. He's backhanding in the hole this way. He's chasing balls up the middle over second, playing shortstop, throwing across his body. Like, and, you know, that's just one that I've played with and, you know, and got to witness. Like, that dude would do stuff on a baseball field that I was just like, how in the hell did you do that? You know what I'm saying? Like, and especially at the age that we were, that factors into it too. You know, I played with him from, you know, since I was like 16 years old, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 years old, all those years. And I mean, he continued to get better, but it's like, when you do shit on a baseball field at 17 years old, that dudes are doing on TV, you're like, this dude's pretty special. And then, I mean, I got people like Bundy too. I faced him. That dude was 16 years old throwing 98 miles an hour. Like, that's just unreal.
Yeah, I had the pleasure of facing John Gray and Bundy.
You know?
So that was a good time, man. Knocked us out of the semis both years.
Yeah, and to throw back to the start of this episode, that immaculate comeback that you were a part of, our reward for coming back and beating you guys was to show up the next day and face Bundy.
Yeah, that's a heck of a reward. Man, I can just remember because John, you know, John came in and closed that game.
Yeah.
So he walked the first guy. I was the second – or maybe the first guy got a hit. I can't remember right now, but I remember there was a guy on base, and I was up, and he hit me in my left shoulder. And all I can remember after that game was my shoulder swelling up so big.
Yeah.
Like, I had to put some frozen vegetables on it just to cool it down. Yeah. Like, it was purple, and it was huge, man. Hit me with one of those 95-mile-an-hour fastballs, so – but man, yeah, I can remember that like it was yesterday. It was, you know, that was my last high school baseball game.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry because I can talk shit on Chandler coming back that year. But other than that year, we got beat by Sperry when Bundy was there. But my other three years, you fall and knocked us out. So,
yeah. So was it Bundy versus John in the finals?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember what the final was of that?
4-1.
Dang. 5 runs?
4-1. Bundy struck out 18 and hit a grand slam.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, that dude's a freak, man.
I take that back. I don't know if John started that game or not.
Yeah.
I don't know if he did. That's been a long time ago, and I've been drunk since then. I do know that Bundy struck out 18 and hit a grand slam to beat us 4-1. And that shit was crazy. A little quick story on that one while we're talking about it. We show up to – it was played in Shawnee, and we show up to that field, you know, for the state championship. And we had watched Sperry the night before. After we beat you guys, we stayed and watched Sperry because we had the winner of it in the state championship. And Bundy didn't pitch that semi game because we were like, well, if they handle business, Bundy's pitching tomorrow, right?
Right. And
Bundy wore, I think it was number 24 for Sperry, something like that.
Something like that, 29, 24.
Yeah, well, when we show up that Saturday and, you know, we're all warming up and everything, blah, 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 we look down in the bullpen and number 7 is warming up. And
is that when he switched?
And we were like, holy shit, like they're really not going to throw Bundy at us. And we knew at some point we're seeing Bundy, right? It's a state championship. So we're in the mindset of, well, whoever they're throwing right now, let's rock this dude for 10, and then we can see Bundy all we want to. Well, apparently Sperry in their black jerseys didn't have a black number 24, and Bundy wore number 7. So
it was like a moment of happiness, and then, shit.
Yeah, and then it quickly got shit on when it was him wearing number 7.
I
remember my first at bat against him. I hit 4 or 5 hole that year, and my buddy JK ended the first inning, and we came off, you know, did our thing in the bottom of the first, top of the first, whatever it was, and then I'm leading off the second, and I asked JK, I was like, hey man, how is it? And he was like, man, it's quick. You're gonna have to get started, you know. So I was like, okay. And you know, at Chandler, we played a, you know, 4 or 5A schedule. So we'd seen arms, we'd seen Fulmer, you know, we'd seen guys like that. And I was like, okay, well, you know, it's quick, you know, I'll get started. So I get in the box and I'm like, I'm gonna watch the first one. I wanna see what this fastball is, you know what I mean? Because Bundy was very well known in Oklahoma baseball.
So yeah,
absolutely. I was like, let me see the first one. David, Ethan, let me tell you this. I thought he threw me a fastball first pitch because it had to have been like 88, 89, 90 miles an hour. Like it had some zip to it, okay? I thought for sure it was a fastball. So I was like, oh, shit. I was like, yeah, I mean, that's firm, but it's not anything we haven't seen yet. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, okay, like, I get back in the box and I'm like, yeah, throw that shit again, Dylan. Like, see what the fuck happens to it. That second pitch I seen, I swear to you, was a fastball because it was in the inner half, about 3 inches from my stomach at 98 miles an hour, and my heart immediately exploded out of my chest. And I was like, okay, like, it's a long day for you, boy Z-Dub. I'm 16 years old. I can't catch up to 98 miles an hour.
That's just moving way too fast.
Yeah.
Right? Did your heart explode because of the speed of the fastball, or was it the realization like, oh, shit, this guy's slider is faster than my fastball?
You broke up really bad there. I caught the first part of it.
No, I was saying, was it because the fastball was so fast, or was it because the slider was harder than your fastball?
No, I think that first one was a changeup. It wasn't a slider. It didn't move like a slider. But yes, his changeup was
really.
His changeup was harder than my fastball too. Yes.
No, I can remember. I can remember facing him, and it was just unbelievable.
Yeah, it wasn't a slider, but my heart exploded out of my chest because I had never seen 98 before in my life.
I hear you. Wow.
But that was, again, shout out to Isaiah Clayton. That was a great question, man. That's the shit I like talking about. Hop into our third question here. We got this one and one more after, and then we'll wrap this week up. Shout out to Cole Bear, Mr. Cole Edens. I miss you, brother. If you listen to this episode, I need to see your face soon. This is a good question as well. Also, let me say real quick, for our listeners out there, we didn't get Chance's perspective on that one. We told you guys in a couple episodes back before, Chance just had his baby girl, and dad duties were calling him. So Chance had to leave us for the rest of the week. He'll be back with us next week. But back to Cole's question. He wants to know, and this one's a good one too. This is a tough one for me. He wants to know, in baseball, can you compare the old greats to the new greats like they do in other sports? Like, you know, we always hear MJ LeBron conversation, you know, and then he wants to know, can we do that in baseball? What, David, you take the reins on this one.
So for me, I want to say no, just because of shit we've talked about before as far as training, nutrition, equipment, recovery, all like, and we've talked about Babe Ruth fucking eating a hot dog and smoking cigars.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't think you can compare cats from, you know, a certain point far back in the day to cats nowadays, because training and nutrition and science has come way too far to really compare cats that were eating hot dogs and smoking cigars just to keep them up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Sharp. What you got on it?
No, yeah, I think that's an easy one, man. I don't think you can compare it at all. I just think that with the way exercise science has come and the freak athletes you're seeing nowadays, just based on the way that people train, you know, the kids growing up, you know, you didn't see that back then. Like those guys, like you guys were saying, were eating hot dogs, smoking cigars, drinking beers in the dugout. You know, I mean, you don't see that now. I mean, you do that nowadays, you're done, you know.
Yeah.
And now I just think that the athletes back then and the athletes today are just completely different breeds. And I don't think it's even comparable. I'm not saying that the guys that were at the top of the game back then wouldn't be successful nowadays. I just don't think you can compare that. Like I don't think we know, you know, what would happen with those guys nowadays. So
right.
Would they even make it, you know, would they even get out of the minors nowadays? I don't know, but I just don't think we can compare it. I don't think we have enough information.
Right. And I'll agree. I think those are great points that you guys said, but I'll play the other side of it a little bit, and that is, like, when you're talking, like, Babe Ruth to Mike Trout, like, that's a huge-ass gap. Like, MJ LeBron's not a huge gap.
Right.
But you don't ever hear anybody comparing LeBron or MJ to Wilt.
Right.
Because Wilt, that gap is there with Wilt. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
I could see – I think it's okay that, you know, if as long as that generation gap isn't too damn big.
That's
you know what I mean?
There's a certain line.
Right.
Where
like I think it's okay to compare like Derek Jeter to shortstops in the league now. You know what I'm saying? Because Derek Jeter wasn't too long ago Derek Jeter was in the league. You know what I mean? But that one's pretty sudden if you're gonna compare him to Jeter. But I agree with you guys, like to go back and say like, oh, how does Mike Trout line up with Babe Ruth
or fucking Otto Graham to Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
That's too far.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I agree with that. But with that being said, the Mike Trout, Babe Ruth shit, like, I think you can compare those two because I think Mike Trout is that good. And when it's all said and done, I think Mike Trout might be touted as the best baseball player to ever play the game.
That's no just, playoff appearances.
That's just my opinion. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, and we can't see him in the playoffs, yeah. Which sucks. Again, shout out to Cole Edens for that one. Good question. And again, can't wait to see your face sometime, brother. Last one of the week, and then we'll wrap it up. We got Mr. Joe Hollowell. Shout out to Joe. Played at UCO with me and Ethan. Sharp, we'll leave the Joe stories out of it because people don't need to know those.
But that's a good idea.
But I think this one's a solid question as well. And that's one athlete from history that we could bring back to have the advances that are in today's game. Like what we just said, David, like you said, you know, we talked about it. Babe Ruth was smoking cigars and eating hot dogs and shit and they thought lifting weights were bad.
Right.
So we're not talking baseball, we're talking all sports here. We'll let you kick this one off again, David. What athlete in any sport would you like to see from back in the day to play in this era's game with the advances that we got?
All right. So for me, and I'm going to pick this guy because he's, in my opinion, the greatest athlete of all time. And it's Bo Jackson, because like his injury was because he was too powerful for his own body.
Yeah.
Like, I think if you brought him into 2021, you know, the realm of science, training, recovery and shit that we have now. And cause you know, you could, what if he'd have never got injured all day long, but a better, what if, shout out to this fucking question. What if Bo trained like Derrick Henry trains now?
Yeah.
With the recovery of LeBron James and with the money and the science and all the fucking nutrition and shit, bro, that's a what if for the history books to me. Like, that's why I would go Bo Jackson, bro. Cause I would love to see, I mean, he was a freak of nature then.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So imagine now.
An athlete that we had never seen before in his time.
You'd never seen a guy that was as powerful and fast and overall athletic as Bo Jackson. Imagine if he trained like they train now.
Yeah. That's a great one. That's a fantastic one. Ethan, what do you got?
Yeah, man, that's a really good one. I didn't think about that, but
we're losing you.
That is a pretty
we're losing
it's a pretty so. Common thought. Mickey, can you hear me?
Hello? All right, I got you back for a minute. Log off and log back on real quick, and then we'll get yours and see if your connection gets better, and I'll go into mine while you figure that out. It's a tough one because, I mean, we can say like, oh, well, what if Babe Ruth lifted weights, you know, shit like that. Like it's just a tough one. I would say, I mean, any of those athletes, like you're saying Bo Jackson, like if they had the shit that they had now, I mean, it goes for anybody.
Right.
Like Bo Jackson, that goes for Deion Sanders.
Even prime time, even really.
Deion Sanders, like if he had the shit that they have today, because the thing is with those guys, like, or let's say Nolan Ryan, I'd love to see Nolan Ryan have the advances that we got today on recovery wise.
Yeah.
Because Nolan Ryan was rolling out there. If you need Nolan Ryan to roll out there on 4 days rest, he'd go. If you wanted him to roll out there on 3 days rest, he'd go. All the shit that they have now and the trainers and the knowledge that it is, and if you could have Nolan Ryan on 5 days rest every week and have training or the training regimens and the recovery regimens that they have now, Nolan Ryan would be the greatest pitcher to ever play the game.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And like you said, you could pick anybody. I mean, Jordan's the GOAT. But imagine if he had the fucking nutrition and recovery, the gap would be insurmountable. You would never even talk about him versus LeBron, Kobe, et cetera.
Yeah, or if he wasn't smoking 9 cigars a day.
Yeah, you could pick any athlete.
This dude was smoking a cigar in the locker room.
Yeah, you could pick any fucking athlete. That's a good point.
All right, Ethan, we'll see if you got your connection back better.
All right, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Okay, cool. Yeah, man, I think you could pick anybody. Any of the pitchers from that age, you know, I just think with the throwing programs and the nutrition programs and the things you got nowadays, man, any of those pitchers back then would be interesting to see how good they would be now. But I think that the one that I picked, and I think it's a pretty common one, I think it's the example that was used in the listener question, but Mickey Mantle, man, that would be so interesting to see just because of the power, the type of player he was. I mean, the power, the speed, the things that he could do back then when he didn't care, didn't necessarily care about his health. You know, from you know what we know is he knew that you know his dad had a condition and he didn't think that he was going to live very long. You know, so he didn't necessarily take care of himself like he should have. But if he had what we have now, you know, it's just interesting to think about what he could have been with that type of strength and training program and nutrition program and the drills and things like that we have nowadays. So I would say Mickey Mantle, man. I think that would be a good one.
Yeah, that's a real – I mean, any athlete, I mean, we could – football, basketball, baseball, if you go back to the – Babe Ruth, Mickey Mantle area, you know, Wilt Chamberlain area.
Muhammad Ali, how about fucking – I mean, you could pick anybody.
Yeah. If you just go back to the 50s, 60s, 70s, like, even 80s and 90s, they didn't have the shit that we got now. Like,
early 2000s, bro. Science moves fast.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah, those are all good ones. But, I mean, you could damn near pick any athlete that – you know, just didn't have the shit that we got now, and they're obviously going to be better.
Yep.
But it's those guys that are still considered some of the greats of the game that you're just like, man, I wish we could have seen them.
Plus,
with this.
You know, even now, you compare like a school like Alabama versus UCO's training department.
Yeah,
I mean, you could break this into whose program has better equipment, better weights, better facilities, and so on and so forth. So, you know, I think it's a good question, and really. Anybody from yesterday could be better with today's science.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's a
great Absolutely. Point. Yep.
All right, I think that will put a bow on this week. We got a little winded. This one went pretty long. But, hey, when we got listener questions like that, I don't mind it. Like, I don't mind going a little long. As long as you guys have listened to us, we appreciate the listener questions. Like I said – Chance had to leave, had some dad duties to do. We appreciate Chance. He'll be back with us full blow next week. I'm your co-host, Zach Wunderlich, as always joined by co-host David Burgess. David, I appreciate you, brother.
Yes, sir. It's a pleasure every week, dog.
Absolutely. And then our special guest, Ethan Sharp this week. Ethan, man, we appreciate you taking the time, coming and joining us. It's a fun episode. Appreciate you sharing some stories, brother.
Absolutely, man. Appreciate you guys having me.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. And again, this has been Balls Deep. We'll holler at you next week.